This is the Blind Geek Zone, podcast number 31, for February 12th, 2009. Hi, this is Rick, and I'm back again with another Blind Geek Zone podcast. Blind Geek Zone podcast number 30 was a great success. Apparently, people really like the interactive part of the podcast. So, in today's podcast, we're going to just completely go interactive here. I've got a lot of comments in through the Skype voicemail and in through the Blind Geek Zone comment phone line. And we'll be playing those all back today, and I'll be commenting as well and answering a few questions here as best I can. I do want to make one correction on the last podcast, a question I answered. I answered incorrectly, and I'll be fixing that here today. It was a question from Linda. It was the second question of three that she asked, and she was asking about JTunes, and I thought she was, for some reason, talking about JTunes and not JTools, and I hope I don't get those confused again. I think I just did, but she was asking about JTunes. Jeez, I can't get that out of my head. She was asking about JTools, which is a product by Brian Hartgen. And totally different from JTunes, which is how I answered the question back. And we'll play that question back again, and I'll try to answer it correctly this time. Okay, without further ado, let's get into the comments.
Hi, this is Linda from Kentucky. I heard a podcast on JTools, which sounded fantastic. It costs $90 to get JTools, and I really am wondering, it seems to me like there's so many good things in there, and I'm wondering why JAWS doesn't incorporate that into their updates, since JAWS is, well, I'm just about to pay $120 to get the continuation of the SMA agreement, and maybe the reason that they don't incorporate them into the updates is there are other ways of accomplishing the same things with JAWS that JTools can do. I'm a basic computer user, and JTools is pretty appealing to me because of that, but I haven't purchased it at this point. I might get a demo, but I hope that if I get a demo, then I might decide I want it, and then what? So I wonder what your thoughts are on that. And maybe it is just as easy almost, if you really know how to do things, to do everything that JTools does. I really liked the select feature, how you can select things in your internet and take them to your email and so on. And as I said, there's probably a lot of ways to do these things that are easy and that are already incorporated into JAWS that I just don't know about. I'm such a new adventurer into the beyond, so to speak.
Okay, and this time I'll try to get this question answered a little more correctly. What I'm going to do is I'm going to let JAWS read a couple emails that I got back in response to my error, and it will provide some more information for you, hopefully.
Rick. Blank. I believe Linda's second question was about JTools, which was explained in FSCast number 23 for October, and that Jonathan Mosen eventually turns it over to Brian Hartgen and the woman who was a beta tester. I can send you the manual if you wish. Blank. JTools enables something like extended selection, automatic bookmarks for the web, scripts for Outlook, which I don't use, and something like a clipboard extender. Blank. I edited the JTools portion out of the FSCast if you'd like me to send that. Additionally, TNT warns that if you use JTunes, JTools won't work. There should be information about that from Hartgen or TNT. Blend. Jerry Cox.
Okay, and that was from Jerry Cox, and I thank him for sending me that email. And the next one here is from Brian Hartshin, actually. And we'll let Jaws read that.
Hello, Rick. Blend. Eric Damery pointed me in the direction of your recent podcast. Blend. I think with respect you got a little confused. One of your listeners asked about the J-Tools program, and your response was concerning. J-Tunes, which works in relation to iTunes, J-Tools, as described on our website, is a completely different product and is a set of tools to automate common routines and, as your listener commented, makes life a little easier for some computer users. Blank. In respect of J-Tunes, on the other hand, there are in fact many compelling reasons why many people would want the scripts, principally because MSAA is not fully supported within iTunes by default and other reasons. There is in fact a table on our website which depicts many left pairing, although not all right pairing, of the differences when J-Tunes is used and when it is not. A recent Tech Talk podcast prepared by myself also clearly demonstrates the differences. Blank. I hope that helps. Blank. Brian Hartshin.
And yes, that does. Thank you, Brian, for correcting my goof. I apologize for that. And hopefully, Linda, you can go out to the FS website and you can listen to that FS podcast that demonstrated JTools. And you can also look up Brian Hartshin's website, which is also linked through the Freedom Scientific website, I do believe. I don't have that address here with me right now, unfortunately. But I hope this answers your question a little more thoroughly this time and a lot more correctly. Thanks.
Hi, this is Brandon Heinrich. I was just calling to congratulate Rick on his outstanding presentation at the Tech Talk training room. I was very impressed by the presentation on ZenSpace, and I wanted to thank him for answering some of the questions that I had in reference to ZenSpace, in reference to the wizard, because I have had some problems with the wizard and have been unsure as to how to do certain things with it. So I'm very glad that you answered my questions, considering, you know, it's very difficult for me to use it when the upload to ZenSpace option is not available. So I wanted to thank you very much for allowing me to join it and ask my questions. I'm sorry for the phone ringing in the middle of the podcast, and something seemed to have been wrong with my headset after I listened to the podcast, to the presentation back on the Blind Geek Zone archives. I downloaded it afterward. I noticed there was must have been a serious problem with my headset because it sounded like I was coming through a telephone. So I gave it a try in Audacity, and sure enough, I was sent like I was coming through a telephone, so I pulled it out of the USB port and it worked okay. If you have any questions, you can give me a Skype call. Since I do have your information on my contact list, I added you a while ago. I don't know if you still have me on your list, but I am. I did add you about a year ago, or maybe a year and a half or so. So if you have any questions or you just want to chat, give me a ring and we can do that. Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks for the comments, Brandon. And I do remember talking to you at that Tech Talk demonstration that night on the ZenSpace. And I wanted to make a couple of comments about ZenSpace and the ZenSpace Wizard. Actually, there have been some changes since that recording. ZenSpace is now allowing Mac users to download 8 gigs per day instead of 4, and that occurred here last month, so that wasn't in my demonstration. And also, there have been a couple new releases to the ZenSpace Wizard, and they've changed some of the focus keys around. So in new versions, the focus keys that I demonstrated that jumped you back and forth between the download section and the local section on your computer are no longer the same, and I guess that was because some of it was conflicting with access technology. So there have been some changes, unfortunately, but I think most people will find that the demonstration is still applicable, and with a few changes in what you do, you can still get a lot out of that. And I did notice that even in these versions, that when you hit the app key, you still have the upload to send space option. I still don't have an answer for you as to why your version didn't, but I just did the latest update the other day, matter of fact, and it still had that option there. So really not sure what was wrong there, but hope you know you're still getting a lot of great use out of the SendSpace Wizard. And for all of you that use SendSpace from time to time to transfer large files back and forth, give the wizard a look. I think you'll find that it's very useful. I like it a lot, and it's definitely simplified the process of doing the transfers up and down from SendSpace. So thanks again, Brandon, for your comment.
Hey, Rick, this is Nick Blazewicz. I have been a listener to your podcast for the past, I would say, 5 months now. And I really enjoy a lot of the variety of different things you put on the podcast about different programs, about different things. You've helped me with some decisions I've made about different programs and all that fun stuff. And you just made me more educated about what's all out there in the blindness community, since I am blind myself. And I listen to a lot of those blindness podcasts, like your podcast, Blind Cool Tech, and all that great stuff. Well, just to sum it up, thank you very much for the awesome podcast. Keep up the great work, and I will definitely continue to be a loyal listener. Thank you very much.
Hi, Nick, and thank you very much for the great comments that you've gave about the website and the podcast. I'm glad that everything has been good to you and helpful. And, you know, it's definitely the intention here. I enjoy doing all these podcasts and demonstrations, you know, and I hope very much that they help a lot of people out, and I get a lot of emails and comments like yours on a regular basis, and you know, it's always very gratifying to myself to get them, you know, because that's the whole reason that the Blind Geek Zone is in existence, is to help others, and that it does very well from what people tell me. So thanks very much again for your comments.
Hi, my name is Giovanni, and I am from Chicago. I had just listened to your podcast from December 31st, and I kind of liked their interactive, ideas, and I think it will help answer many, many questions. And I heard a question about Neuro 8. I have recently got my hands on Neuro 8, and someone gave me a copy of it. I was wondering, because I've been having, you know, you say this, it's pretty accessible, but for some reason I'm having trouble burning DVDs and going through the burning DVD process. I'm wondering if by any chance you can hopefully answer this question. And I'm also, you know, hoping, or are there any scripts that will work with, you know, Neuro 8 or something like that? Are there any scripts that will work with Neuro 8 or even 9 that I can get that'll make things easier? Because I noticed Charles kind of babbles when I try to go through the list of, you know, if I want to make an audio CD or a DVD CD, I've noticed it kind of babbles. But I'm using JAWS 9. I have not gotten my hands on JAWS 10, unfortunately, but that'll come in the future. But I'm, if you can please let me know what I can do about that, That would be great. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Hi, Giovanni. Thanks for the comment. I agree with you. The last podcast was definitely a hit. And from the responses and all the new calls that I've gotten since then, I tend to think we'll be doing a lot more of these. I hope this one, your, you know, BGZ podcast number 31, is just as popular as the last. And I guess, you know, we'll see how it goes. But I intend to keep doing these as long as there's demand for them. So, the question you asked about Nero 9. Unfortunately, I don't have anything here I can demonstrate to you how that works. I don't have Nero installed on the machine right now. I've been using Roxio's RecordNL 10 for most things, but I know that Nero 8 was quite accessible from when I installed the demo of it and did the Nero 8 demo a while back here on the Blind Geek Zone. And, you know, I really don't have any problems with it babbling. I'm not sure what exactly what you mean about babbling, but I assume you're meaning it's being either too verbose or it's saying things that don't apply to what you're tabbing around through. So I'm not sure what to answer there, but I didn't have that problem here, and most of the things I see about Nero on the various mailing lists don't, you know, most people don't seem to have a problem with it, but, you know, you just have to, you know, try a different version of JAWS, maybe. I'm really not sure what to answer, you know, for that particular problem. As far as scripts are concerned, there really aren't any scripts whatsoever for Nero. I don't think anybody's really seen a necessity to have them, and I know I haven't here, at least for using you know, the Nero Burning ROM section of the suite. Some of the other sections, you know, programs that are given with Nero definitely aren't overly accessible, but thankfully the Burning ROM still is. As far as burning DVDs, really didn't give me enough information there to answer that question. All I can basically do is point you to the older Nero 6 series that I did back in early 2006. I believe part 4 covers burning DVDs, and essentially I don't think that's changed much in 7, 8, or I don't know about 9. I've not I've not downloaded the demo for 9, and I don't plan to. I kind of have decided to go the way of record now. I like it better. It's a lot cheaper, and it, you know, it suits me as well as Nero did, so, you know, I don't really want to pay $100 or $70 or whatever it happens to be at the time for that anymore, when I can buy a similar product, you know, for $30. So, sorry I didn't really answer that question great. I didn't, you know, didn't really get enough information from you to answer it real clear. Hopefully the Nero 6 podcast will point you in the right direction for the DVD burning.
Hi, Rick. It's Ming. Yeah, thanks for your message. And yeah, it's good. I have tried the system SS, and it's worked very well. with Windows Live Messenger, the latest one, yeah. And so anyway, I'm looking for your next Windows 7 tutorials or demonstration. And you have done a good job in the last two parts of the Windows 7 demonstration, and I have listened to it. It's very, very fantastic. Yep. So I'll talk to you later. You have a nice day. Bye.
Hey, Ming. Thanks for the message and the comments. It's all appreciated. And Ming was asking in a previous message about the new Windows Live Messenger, I guess version 9. And he was asking me as to whether or not it was accessible with JAWS 10. And unfortunately, from what I've heard, no, it isn't. Hopefully it will be fixed here on JAWS 10 Update 1, which from what I hear in the rumor mill is expected hopefully in March, probably around the time of CSUN, which is the big conference out in L.A., which I believe is on March 17th, 18th, and 19th. So, you know, unfortunately, right now that's not accessible, so I've stuck with 8.5 or 8.6, whichever version it is here. From what I hear, though, like Ming did say, it is accessible through System Access 3.0, so that's good. So, you know, there's at least one way to do it. Haven't tried it here, so really can't comment much on that. But like I said, hopefully Freedom Scientific will get that fixed here right away, and we'll all be able to upgrade to the new version. And thanks for the comments on the Windows 7 podcast. I just completed part 3 here 2 days ago, and that's now up on the website for everybody to listen to. It's been real fun using the Windows 7 beta here, and I like it a lot. Shows a lot of promise, and I think it's going to be well worth using once it's released, hopefully here later in the year. So thanks again, and that was Ming, and he's from, I believe he's in Hong Kong, China. So thanks again, Ming, for that comment.
Hello, Rick. This is Harald van Beveren from the Netherlands. I was wondering if you could shine your light on accessibility for blogging sites. I'm thinking about blogging myself and was wondering if you have any experience or comments or tips and tricks about choosing the right blog site. Thank you.
Hi, Harald. Thanks for your question. Yeah, there are a lot of blogging sites now that are accessible to all of us. I currently use Blogger, and it is quite accessible. Once you set up your Blogger account, about the only change you need to do is if you go into the settings, and I'll flip over here. I have a Blogger screen up. Alright, I'm going to maneuver around here a little bit, but this is in the basic settings. This is the first screen of settings you come into once you go into the settings for your blog.
Yes. No. Yes.
Oops.
Forms mode off. Virtual PC.
Yeah, I got stuck in forms mode there.
Blend. Combo box yes. 1 of 2. Blend. Show compose mode for all your blogs.
Okay, and you'll arrow down through here, and you'll get to a section that says Show Compose Mode for your blogs.
Blend. Combo box yes. 1 of 2.
Ooh. And that got changed. Unfortunately, let me change this back.
Space. Forms mode on. No. Tab. Forms mode off. Whistlewiglin.
Okay, let me see here.
Add the compose mode to your post editor. Blend. Combo box no. 2 of 2. Blend. Show compose mode for all your blogs.
Okay, and that's the show compose mode for all your blogs. It's set to yes by default.
Blend. Combo box no. 2 of 2.
And you want to set it to no.
Blend. Adds a compose mode to your post editor. Left paren, also sometimes known as a linguiswig. Editor. Right paren. Blend.
Okay, and that's essentially the only setting in Blogger that you need to change, is you need to change this WYSIWYG editor. Turn it off, and then you can post your blog entries right through Blogger without any problems. Another thing you can do with Blogger, and I'd have to look it up, but you should be able to find it. It's another setting, but you can set up some email to where you can send posts in directly through email, and that's how I do all of my posting through Blogger now, is through email only, and I don't even have to mess with the website, and that works really, really good because I can put in links and other HTML tags very easily. It's just automatically done, whereas if you're doing it through Blogger itself, with the WYSIWYG turned off, you know, you have to code your HTML tags directly. So I like that a lot. And the Blogger site's not hard to use. It's real simple, and a lot of people use it. I think you'll like that a lot. Another one of the Blogger sites that is very accessible is LiveJournal. And I've messed with that a little bit. There's nothing really you need to change on it to post your blogs. It's very straightforward. I believe it is ad-based, but you can pay a small fee, and I believe you can get rid of those ads. And that's another great way to blog. A lot of people like LiveJournal. And one of the other options that's available that I haven't used, but the big boys, the granddaddies of the bloggers out there among us, use WordPress. And that is actually something where you install a server of sorts, I guess, on your end. I don't know much about it, but I do know a lot of people use it, and that's the real high end of blogging. And can't say too much about that. But if you're just like me and you just want to do some simple blogging, sites like Blogger and LiveJournal definitely are easy ways to go. I hope that kind of answers your question to some extent, and thanks for the question. That was Harold from the Netherlands.
Hi. The Blonde Geek Zone. The Windows 7 podcast, very informative. What a pain that Windows 9 is going to be packing out of Windows 7 and no classic views. I find it a bit of a pain using regular view in Windows Vista with drawers. Like in the menus, it'll read extra stuff, and I don't want to do it. I want to say accessories, one of two, blah, blah, blah. I don't want that. What's another tip? If you hit the applications key, when you're in programs, add a shortcut to the desktop. Highlight your program, hit the applications key, arrow down to centers, arrow down to add to desktop, and then your shortcut will be put to the desktop, like Windows Mail, Office, etc., etc. The only other question I have is my webcam's still not working, and I think I might have to say it could be fixed, or maybe get a company to come out and fix it to see if it should have had better quality control. It's the USB controller, unless there's USB controller software or drivers, but I haven't found it to see the website. Thanks. Keep up the good work.
Okay, and this comment and question is from Marvin, and he is down in I can't remember. He was in Australia, and I know he's moved, but he's somewhere down there in the land down under. And He's been asking questions on the lists about his Toshiba laptop that he's using Vista on. And I know he was having some quality problems, so hopefully everybody can understand the Skype call he left. But basically, he was commenting on not liking the fact that Windows 7 won't have a classic mode like Vista did, and I agree that's going to be a problem to some people. I'm kind of getting used to it here, and I'll adjust, but I agree. Would have been nice if they would have given us some way to go classic with it if we chose to do so, but unfortunately they're not going to. And as far as hearing all the verbosity and when you're arrowing around and you're in menus, I think you can cancel a lot of that out through Insert V and going down to your verbosity settings, or you can go into Configuration Manager and set yourself to advanced as far as verbosity. And I think you can get rid of a lot of that. I kind of leave it here to when I'm training people, but I agree, I don't like all of it either. And as far as your webcam, I know you've asked that question a lot of times, and I don't think anybody's really been able to help you. Really, what I would say is, you know, if Toshiba technical support can't help you, I don't know if you got this laptop used or new, or if you can do anything through your dealer, but if you did purchase it new, you know, I would demand they fix it. I don't know. Otherwise, I guess if you can't do that and you can't get any luck out of Toshiba, I would just disable it completely in Device Manager, not mess with it, and just get an external webcam for your notebook. And I think that will do just as well for you. So, again, that was Marvin. And thanks for the comment and the question. All right, that wraps up this podcast. That's all the Q&A I had for this time. Thanks again for everybody that's left comments through Skype and through the comment line. If you want further information on the comment line, you can go to the Blind Geek Zone webpage. And if you go down the main page using your heading keys, you'll come to the comment line. It'll give you the phone number to call in. You know, if you're here in the States and you have unlimited calling capabilities, you know, give that a try. If you're on Skype, you can just simply leave a voicemail. And you know, I'll put those out here for everybody to listen to, and I'll comment on them. And I had a lot of them this time, so thanks again for all of that. Okay, that wraps us up. I hope everybody enjoys this, and I'll talk to you again soon. Here's my contact information. My website is the Blind Geek Zone. The address is www.blind-geek-zone.net. My Skype ID is rharmon928. That's rharmon928. My MSN contact information is rharmon928@hotmail.com. My email address is rharmon, that's rharmon, at blind-geek-zone.net. If you have any questions or comments on any of the audio recordings I've done, any of the podcasts, tutorials, or demos, please feel free to contact me. If you're in need of training or technical support or website development assistance, please feel free to contact me. If you have any other comments or suggestions, please feel free to contact me.